The ghost that comes to make his home in our lives. The ghost that teaches us and reminds us of what Jesus said in his scriptures. The ghost that empowers us. The ghost that never leaves us.
Amen.
And I think many times, because the ghost is not seen, it's spooky. And I always say it like this: have you seen Jesus? Have you seen the Father? You might have got a vision, but I'm telling you, faith comes by not seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. So the more we understand and we come to the realization to know the ghost, the more we can operate in what's already ours. Amen? So I want to talk about the ghost. Paul said it this way in Romans. He says, if the ghost of the Lord Jesus Christ was used to raise Jesus from the dead, and if this ghost dwells in us, then the person that raised Jesus from the death to life will give to our mortal bodies through the ghost who dwells in us the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
Rests in us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And not only do we need to understand that, but we need to know him. And if you refer to him, and if it's more comfortable to call him the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, welcome him. He lives in us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Yes.
Genesis 1 says this, just to bring it into context from the very beginning. God says this in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the ghost, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the earth. The ghost was giving the power to the very word that was spoken. Jesus spoke, "Let there be." And the ghost gave power to it.
Amen.
When the children of Israel escaped out of captivity, the ghost was in the cloud by day to keep them from burning up, but it was the fire by night that kept them warm. That same ghost has not changed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, go with me with a little study so you understand and come to that place to know the ghost better than you ever have before. Acknowledge the ghost. Now listen to me, don't get religious. The ghost was given to believers to put us into remember to what Jesus, and you need to remember that Jesus was on earth to remind us of what the Father said. The Father, Son, and the ghost work together. They are an unbeatable team, and so are we.
Amen.
Because we get engrafted within by the power that he gave us. I'm going to go into John the Beloved. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, Jesus is talking. Everybody look at me. For those that may have not been here that long, the old covenant gives us a lot of tools that we can use to build our faith. Jesus gives us transitional scriptures that takes us from the old covenant, and that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to get us into the new covenant in which we are to live in. And so he's teaching the old covenant people how to understand and get to the new covenant that's going to be birthed when he leaves the earth and sends us the ghost. And so he says this as he's training up in this transitional time. He says, if you abide, this is red letters. Jesus says, if you abide in the word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? So we need to understand and know the truth. Jump back to chapter 7. Verse 37 says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stands, cries out, anyone thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That's not changed. And the cry this morning, if you're thirsty, Jesus says, come to him and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of your heart is going to flow rivers of living water. Now listen, he's transitioning them. Now they're all excited. I'm thirsty. I'm not thirsty for water. I'm not thirsty, but I'm thirsty for this, Lord. And he says this, "This I'm speaking concerning the ghost or the spirit or the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to put in there, but it's the ghost, whom those believe in me are going to receive. For the ghost was not yet given." The ghost was with Jesus where he was. Jesus says he's been with you, but he's coming to come and live in you.
Amen.
That's why we get excited. That's why we've got life and life more abundantly. It's not because of us. It's because the kingdom of heaven has come, and he's come into us as the ghost. And he brought the whole kingdom with him and gave it to us.
Amen.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
That's why we should be the most excited people anywhere.
Yes, sir.
We don't just know the Lord Jesus. We know the ghost, the power within that will never leave us.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus doesn't stop teaching. I jump ahead to John 14. John 14 says this. He's trying to set the stage. Remember, the ghost hasn't been released yet. Pick it up at verse 16, red letters, if you got the Bible with red letters. Jesus says, "I'm going to pray to my Father. He's going to give you another helper." Now, in this case, the ghost is called the helper. Everybody say helper.
Helper.
He's going to abide with you forever. This ghost I'm talking about, folks, isn't something that was Old Testament, New Testament. It's all forever. And doesn't just come in when I feel goosebumpies or I'm really feeling like I've really done a lot. It's got nothing to do with what you do. When he comes, he's there forever.
Good word.
And the ghost whom the world cannot receive. Listen, world can't receive because it can't see him, so we can't know him. I'm telling you, there's religion out there that doesn't talk about him either because they don't see him, so they can't know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, but he's going to be in you. Say, I welcome the ghost. You have to welcome him. Back in the Gospels, when John says, "I come to baptize under repentance, that you receive the Lord Jesus. But there's one greater than I who's coming. His name is Jesus. When he baptizes you, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." This he spoke about, which was not yet released. Folks, we're not living in the transition age. We're living in the new covenant age.
Yes, yes.
And the new covenant age means we got him.
We got it.
And we got him wherever we go. Whether I'm in the country, the boondocks of the Marion Springs, walking in the woods of whatever, or whether I'm in the busiest streets of the cities, I got the ghost. And I know the ghost. And that's why I can smile and laugh and have a good time in the midst of whatever the struggles, because it's not based on this, it's based on this.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't come to consume my head, he came to consume my heart, and now my heart's got to train my head by getting in here and knowing the ghost. And all that he gives to us so that we can operate in what's already ours. Everybody look at me. This is not a Pastor Weldon thing. It's a believer thing. Religion has tried to say, well, if you just pray enough or you get enough scripture in, you really get to be a powerful person. No, you get to be a powerful person when you ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost and you get the ghost.
Amen.
And then you're anointed because he brings the anointing. And then we don't touch one another, whether they go to Shield of Faith or they go wherever, because we're his. Amen? So he goes on, he says this. This ghost of truth, whom the world cannot, you're going to get to be with you forever. Pick up at verse 26. The helper, the ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the anointing, whatever you put in there, put in it and believe it. Whom the Father is going to send in my name, he is going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring to remembrance everything I've said to you.
Yes, sir.
That's why it's so significant that we recognize and know the ghost that lives in us. He's our core. Jesus isn't in you other than in the Spirit. He's at the right hand of the Father ever making intercession for you and I. But he gave us another one just like him. And who he gave us, Jesus could only be in one place at one time. The ghost can be every place at all time because he's not limited.
Good.
That's why we don't beat up one another, because we all. That's why when you become a youngster and Josh makes Jesus Christ his Lord, he doesn't get a baby ghost. He gets the same one I got, which means he can do all things through Christ that strengthens him.
Amen.
We as parents train our children so they understand that, so they operate in what they already have, because if they don't teach and never understand what they already have, they never operate in what they have, and they always live in a level so much lower than what God ever intended. But you're going to know the ghost. Chapter 20, still red letters. This is what Jesus said. Jesus says in verse 21, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now, did he say he's only sending a few, or is he sending you? All believers are sent. That's why we're all full-time ministers. And you have to hear it and hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Whether you're a school teacher, a janitor, or a farmer, you're a full-time minister. And wherever you go, God gives it to you. But you got to understand that where you go, the ghost goes. And it's not your power, it's the ghost power that lives in you that's looking to activate. And many people have a ghost asleep in their spirit because they're never activated, because they don't realize they got him.
Come on.
This is what he says. Verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and they received the ghost." And then he says, if you will forgive anybody, they'll be forgiven. If you retain it, it'll be retained. Did you ever have anybody say, oh my gosh, only God can forgive sins? Yeah, but you got God in you. You got the ghost in you. And that's why we have the ability to forgive. That's why we have the ability to walk in forgiveness with everybody. I can run into anybody that's been cursing me and putting me down because I walk in forgiveness. I can see them and love them because it's not based on them. It's based on the ghost in me.
Yes.
And I've forgiven them, and I've asked God not to lay it to their account. I walk in freedom. I'll go wherever I want to go and enjoy a life and a life more abundantly, because that's what God wants.
Yes, sir.
It's not a hype. I tell my wife, it's intensity. It's not emotion. But you can't have intensity without it coming along. But you can have emotion without intensity. Because intensity comes from the ghost.
Good. Yeah.
Comes from the Spirit. It comes from the life and life more abundantly that we get.
Thank you, Lord.
Acts chapter 1, moving into the new covenant. Last declaration of Jesus before the day of Pentecost. I'm looking at verse 4. "And they were all assembled together, and he commands them, don't depart. Wait for the promise that you heard. John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the ghost not many days from now." Skip down to 8. "But when this power comes from the ghost, comes on you, you're going to be witnesses in Saginaw and Midland and Bay City and Hemlock and Birch Run and Chesaning." Why are you? Because the power from God comes in us and is looking to flow out of us, because it's the power of God that changes things. Jesus did not get people healed. He got people healed by the power of God that lived in him. Same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead raised us from the dead.
Amen.
Into his kingdom of life. You receive this power. Jump over to chapter 2. It's about to take place. Suddenly, verse 2 of chapter 2, there comes a sound from heaven. Whole house is sitting. There appeared to them tongues as a fire, and it set on each of them. And they were all filled with the ghost. And they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. There's 120 of them in the upper room. This was not for a few. This was for the whole team. All of them got full. All of them got full of the ghost and spoke in tongues. That's why 1 Corinthians 14 says you all have a tongue. We can all speak in it. Most people aren't taught to know that. They think it's some special gift. It is. You got it with the ghost. When he came to come live with you, he didn't leave his giftings home. He brought them with him. All nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the benefits of the kingdom of heaven has come. They will say, lo, the kingdom of heaven is here, it's there. No, he says it doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is within. It came when we get the ghost. Everything that pertains to life and godliness came not because you earned it, but because you received Jesus and asked him to give you the Holy Ghost. There's significance in this, church. In the day and age in which we live and the attacks that are coming, if we don't begin to operate more and more in the tools that God has given us, the more and more we're going to look like we're in defeat. The attacks, this is not a political thing. This isn't a financial thing. This isn't anything. It's a movement of God from within. There is a cry on the earth, and I believe it's really hitting America, that the church is waking up to what's already theirs. And the progressive agenda is not going to sway us to come off the truth.
Come on.
The ghost is going to shore us up. We're going to love all humanity with all our heart, but we're going to operate in the truth that he has given us power. Power not to be belligerent, power to be a communicator of this truth.
Amen.
That we be his.
Amen.
And we've got a message, and the message is a message of love. It's a message that does not put down any believer or brother wherever they worship, but we're here as an encouragement. Because greater is he that's in us than the force of darkness.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what my Bible calls Acts? It calls it the Acts of the Apostles. That in itself, I personally think that's wrong. I think it should be Acts of the Ghost. Because Acts of the Apostles, it's those 12. God bless those 12, but God never intended that his power to flow just out of those 12. And you read Acts, it's one person after another that's full of God and doing exploits for him, and they weren't necessarily the apostles. We got to break that stigma that you got to be fivefold ministry gift. I've been called all five of those at times. It's not the Holy Ghost, fivefold ministry gift. It's the ghost that comes in believers that is used in power to set captives free. That lives in all of us, and that's God's heartbeat.
Yes, sir.
Who am I? I'm a Holy Ghost man of God.
Amen.
And religious folk hate me because they hated Jesus. I'm not here to be religious. I'm here to break you out of religion. To get you out of this thing that you got to do 16 things and then you're loved more. You got to jump through 14 hoops and then you get to be a deacon. And then 17 other hoops and maybe you get to be an elder. And if you're really called and anointed, we'll get you into the fivefold. And then, no, you have a ghost like I got a ghost. And he brings the kingdom of heaven and he is setting people free by your ghost. So Richard, when you're ministering to this Muslim household, that they pick up the love you have for them and you share, well, it's all about Jesus. They've already been primed because it's all about Jesus. And the boldness that he gave us when he gave us the promise. Jesus was a big threat to religion. Did you ever notice how hard? He wasn't hard. It's hard on unbelievers. And he wasn't that hard on believers. He was hard on the religious folks that always wanted to get you back into jumping through some hoops, get you doing enough good things that God will really like you. What that's done, the church is so beat up, they don't want anything to do with church because they're blaming God for man.
Come on.
man has got us to this place that we want to be. You know, we were created in His image. Man's been trying to get God to be created in our image. I'm not creating God in my image. I'm created in His image and His likeness. Big difference. Because I got the ghost. Acts, New Covenant. We know the power of the ghost is poured out on 120. Peter speaks, 3,000 get filled with the ghost. Now remember what I said. Religion says this is the acts of the apostles. I'm saying it's the acts of believers or the acts of the ghost. Look with me if you would. Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Were they the apostles?
No.
The lion to the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit smite them? No. But when you don't want the ghost, He'll release and you'll become vulnerable. He doesn't want us to learn the hard knocks the hard way, but He allows us because He's got our best interest. If we choose not to operate in what's already ours, it's not His fault. Either we don't know and we're ignorant, or we know and we're prideful and we're resisting. Chapter 6. And I love this chapter. You need to highlight this one. And many scholars have said this is 6 years after the day of Pentecost. They say if you want to chronologically go through Acts, they're saying it's about each chapter is about a year later. So we're looking at 6 years after the explosion that happened in the upper room. And it says, in those days, the number of disciples are multiplying. And all of a sudden, there's complaints arising. They said the widows are being neglected in the daily distribution. Now listen. Look what the Holy Scripture allowed to be printed. The 12 summoned the multitudes and said, it's not desirable that we 12 should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Everybody look at me. Did Jesus come to be served or did He come to serve?
Serve.
Now the 12 said, we can't leave the Word. But look it. Therefore, believers, seek out from amongst yourself men of good reputation, full of the Ghost. I thought this was the acts of the apostle. No, the apostles are abdicating their role. Oh no, it's not for us. It's for the others. Now look it. We're going to give ourselves continuously to prayer and the ministry of the Word. I'm telling you, church, we got to break this stigma off. The ministry is supposed to be for all of you that are full of the Ghost. In this case, they picked him out. And look at what it did to the crowd when they knew the 12 couldn't meet their needs. They didn't panic. They didn't, oh, woe is me. The ministry team can't meet my need. They realize, who do we got that's full of the Ghost? Who do we know that's got such a good reputation? How'd they get a reputation? Because they're operating in the fullness of the Ghost. And look at what it did to the congregation. Now remember, 6 years after the day of Pentecost, thousands, the world's getting turned upside down. And if they're still waiting for the acts of the apostles, they're going to be waiting a long time. Acts of mighty men and women of valor that know who they are in Christ and are stepping up to be empowered and allow the Holy Ghost, the Ghost Himself, to flow out of them and to make a difference where they're at. Restore the wasted years the enemy has robbed us because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy our peace, our lives, our families. He's allowed his seed to get into families. There's been violation and people being broken down. And yet he says, you are going to be used to restore the wasted years.
Amen.
Not in your power, but in the power of the Ghost that goes with us. And a saying pleased the whole multitude, the whole core believing out there. Someone asked me, a couple come in for counseling this week, and they said, what makes us different? What makes us different is this. You are freed to be free to be a mighty man and woman of God. You don't need to wait for a podium. You don't need to wait for endorsement. You know that your endorsement came from the Holy Ghost. You know it came from the Ghost himself. When you made Jesus and you asked him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, you've got the stamp of approval. It's approval from heaven that says, pray the kingdom come on earth as it already is going on.
Amen.
There is nobody in here that's more powerful than another person. And the only reason it appears is just like it appeared to them. Because a few of them were doing the works that everybody could have done and they had a good reputation. Stephen, you must be full. How did they know? Man of Philippi, the Holy Ghost, picked up the other ones. You can read. And it says, the word of God spread. Disciples are multiplying greatly, and a great many of even the priests, the religious sect, are getting obedient to the faith. Do you see what happens when Holy Ghost-filled people realize they got the power within and begin to operate in it? We begin to see a whole multitude coming to the Lord, getting set free, because the Lord promises he's given us souls for our inheritance.
Amen.
We got to take and get it. Jesus in the transitional scripture says, the fields are plenteous. I need laborers. You know why they needed laborers? Because they were always waiting for the few. If we can only get them to church. If we can only get them to the big shots. They operate in signs and wonders. No, we got to get them to Jesus. We got a ministry of reconciliation. Getting people to Jesus. And Jesus is the source that's going to set people free. Because when they know him, they get really free.
Amen.
Woo! Holy Ghost free. Ghost freed. Stephen, full of faith. Verse 8. Power. Look at this guy. Oh my gosh. We better reprint the Bible. It doesn't say anything about him being an apostle. How can he be in here? This is the Acts of the Apostle. And here it's saying that he's full of faith and power and he's doing great wonders and signs among the people. And all of a sudden, the religious folk rise up and begin to try to shut him down. Most of us know the story of Stephen. You can flip a couple chapters in. You know his life lived on earth was short. But while he lived, he stayed full. And one thing I love about what Stephen did, let me paraphrase it. He's about to be stoned. He's looking to heaven. He's declaring what he saw Jesus do on the cross. Remember Jesus says, forgive them for they know not what they do. Thank God he did that. Because we don't know and didn't know what we do. Stephen, with a loud voice, it says, he cried out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, my ghost. Lay not this to their account. Most believers want, well, I forgave them, but I want them to get their due reward. Get them, God. No, no. Full of the Ghost. Don't even lay it to their account. Remember when I read in John 20, it says, we have the power to do what?
Forgive.
Forgive. Stephen, full of the Ghost, forgave everyone that was about to stone him before he was stoned. It says, don't lay it to their account. You know what the Lord told me? Reasonable faith says we got to forgive them. Mighty men and women of valor ask God, don't even lay it to their account. Because what God told me in that, he has to clear their account and they don't reap what they've sowed because we've got the power to forgive and not to lay it at their account. Can you imagine how more free people would be if Christians would rise up, Lord, what they did to me, I forgive them, don't even lay it to their account.
Yes, sir.
We do it all the time here. People come in, don't you know this church is saying you're outside the law, you're really wild out there. And I says, Lord, we forgive them and don't lay it to their account. And then we walk around in that spirit of freedom. And we run into anybody and everybody. And who the Son has set free is free indeed. Because I got the Ghost. He's good. Do you know what Paul said in Ephesians 5? I like the Amplified version. But he says, hey, don't get high on a little booze. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Don't get high on a little drug. Just stay ever full of the Ghost. Ephesians 5:18. I don't need any fake substance. I don't care what they pass in Michigan. I got freedom in the ghost.
Yes, sir.
My high, I don't need to get high or I don't need to get tweaked. I'm not talking about medicinal medicine. I'm talking about people that have to find some way to escape. Oh, no. I want to be right in it. I want the ghost in me to just...
Amen.
24 and 25, my wife and I, she was raised Catholic. I was raised Protestant. We love God. Came to a place and we went to a church service. And you've heard me share this before, 600 people. And I leaned over to her. And remember, we're mentioning Jesus as our Lord. I said, honey, we're the only two normal people in here. People couldn't be raising their hands and talking to Jesus. What is this? No one can love God that much. Halfway back, I lived in Hemlock at the time because I taught there. My wife worked at Dow. I leaned over to her. We didn't say anything half the trip back from Saginaw. I says, honey, if what they got is real, that's where I want to live. She said the same thing. It was within just a few weeks that we fell into it. We realize it's not just giving our lives to the Lord. That's good. Go to heaven. I want to walk in power.
Amen.
I remember I was sharing with Pastor Mike this we'd had a Bible study at Chap's house, and the Lord impressed upon me to talk about the ghost, to talk about the power, because one of my ex-athletes was coming, and he was more traditional. I think this would help free him. So I strategically went through this and talked about it, and this is what you got to do, and then I'm ready for him. And he said, no, but Pastor Mike says, that's me.
Yeah,
and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost that night, and he's never been the same.
Yes.
You get power. There's an undeniable power. My wife and I used to get people hooked up to get politically active. Instead of complaining, get up and at least vote. My gosh. And we'd run into this particular denomination. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want you to get critical on me. They says, hanging around with you guys, in our church, we're always believing for the power and you're walking in the power. I'm telling you, folks, that's not for just a few.
That's
whosoever
right.
can operate in this power. It's called the power of the ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus is the one that baptizes us.
Right.
Every one of you in here that asks Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost gets filled. And you have all the tools to lay hands on the sick. People, you say, oh, man, you've cast out devils. You've put hands on people with cancer and it's disappeared. I put hands on people with cancer and it didn't disappear. I'm not the healer. Jesus is.
Yes, sir.
And neither are you. And the reason why most people don't have people getting healed because they're not laying their hands on anybody because they're thinking, oh, that's not, I got to get them to somebody more powerful. No, you've got the power within you if you've asked Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Good word.
Amen?
Yes.
So who are you? You are mighty men and women of God.
That's right.
If you hung around me very much, you'll hear me call you mighty man or mighty woman of God. Because I'm calling the things sometimes that be not as though they are. But nobody is going to force you to want to go deeper with the things of God that are freely ours already, but I'm going to encourage you to.
Amen.
God is good. So, I'm going to leave you with this today. I'm going to pick up with it next week. Paul instructed Timothy, one of his disciples. He encouraged them in 2 Timothy 1:6. You can highlight if you want. He says, you got a gift in you. We know the gift is the ghost. You got a responsibility to regularly stir up the gift that's within you.
Amen.
The Amplified, I think, says something like this. Fan the flame of God that's within you. Another version says, set ablaze. So can you understand that if we're stirring up or we're setting ablaze or we're fanning the flame, if we don't, it's not getting the flame. A destructive fire is what's hitting California. Blessing fire is when the fire of God gets off us and sets people free.
Yes.
Romans 8 says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the ghost within us will help us. But we have to yield. Someone says, oh, that's spooky. You're talking about tongues now. Yep, I remember in that church of 600, I heard of tongues. And I thought, what is this? Just like this morning, it just so happens that the Lord wanted another tongues. And I thought, oh my gosh. First of all, we thought it was really weird. Then we thought it was kind of strange. And then we just wanted to know what it was. And instead of going by traditionally being raised, we got in and studied the Word. And we realized that throughout the New Testament, it talked about you that pray in tongues, build up your most holy faith. You that pray in the Ghost, it edifies and builds you up. So it just made sense. And we made a pattern. We do it as much as we can. Because it keeps you built up. It keeps you strong. Because what we encounter throughout the week isn't always easy. Amen. And you know how many pastors are leaving the ministry regularly? I know we got the last thing, but it's thousands that are leaving. You know why? Because they're trying to do it in their own strength. I do it with the Ghost. The power within. And He wants to flow through you. So I'm going to close this morning. I'm going to challenge all you that are listening today. I want you just to close your eyes, church. If you've already asked Jesus to fill you with the Ghost, that's great. Praise God. You can be an encouragement. But I believe there's those in here that have been struggling and floundering and maybe even been scared of the Ghost or the Holy Spirit, if that's easier for you. And the Bible says, no good gifts are withheld, but we have a role. They asked the disciples, how did you receive this? By doing a bunch of good things or just by faith? And they said, by faith. So I'm going to pray for those that are watching today and those that are in this congregation. If you've never operated in your prayer language and you've never asked Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to ask Nathan if you'd dim the lights a little bit. This is a personal thing more than it is an altar thing right now. I'm believing with all my faith that today that God has you here because He wants to empower you stronger in some of the areas that has been beating you up. Even the words of encouragement later, the Lord wants you encouraged. I'm going to ask you to pray this after me. Say, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. I ask you, Jesus, what you said in the Word, that you would baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire. If I asked you, I'm asking for it right now. In Jesus' name, I receive it by faith. I receive you, Ghost, by faith. Now, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you, whether you're home or right here, close your eyes, raise your hands, and just begin to praise the Lord. But don't praise Him just in your native language. Praise Him in your prayer language. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the Ghost within, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the power within to resist the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, more, mas, Señor, more, Lord, mas fuego, more fire, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Someone says, I don't know what to do. Just yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me. Thank you for baptizing me, Jesus. Now I yield, I thank you that I build up my hope, most holy faith, by praying in the Ghost, Lord. Ora shelele masanda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bible says that those that operate in any of the gifts can silence at any time. God never forces us to ever pray in our prayer language, never tells us that we can't. It's up to us. It's the speaker's control. You need to read 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to encourage those that have asked Jesus to fill you now, and even in your homes or whatever, I'm going to ask you to practice. The Bible says that yield to Him, and He will continuously, the more you operate in the Spirit, the more you operate in the Ghost, the more it becomes a way of life. The more you'll flow, the more there'll be signs and wonders flowing out of your lives, because they're not you, they're Him. Out of your belly shall flow rivers, Lord, rivers of life, flow, from this church, flow from the airways. Release your kingdom. Kingdom come. Kingdom. Jesus. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet, church. You are welcome. If you know the words, sing it with us. Oh, this place and fill the atmosphere. Notory, how is what I watched them for. The over and so come. Your presence come. Kath, play that one more time. I'm going to invite, if you're struggling and you're not operating or you don't know how to operate in your prayer language, I'm going to ask you to slip up here. Let me help you. Let me coach you. Sometimes when the well isn't coming through, you got to put some water down in it, kind of prime the pump, okay? So as we sing that verse, and again, if those that have to go, that's fine, but if you need help, he says, yes, I want to pray in my prayer language, and I'm having a little bit of difficulty. Come, let me help you prime your pump in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Sing this.
Come, Lord, of your presence.